But in Philippians, where I want us to begin today, and we'll get out of this pretty quick, but here are just a couple of the greatest verses about prayer to encourage you. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's one of my 10 verses that I read every single morning. Do not be anxious about anything. And I love it in the NIV. The next little phrase says, in every situation. Do you ever get in a situation? Like sometimes I think, God, I'm in a situation and I'm going to pray. And I do that because I honestly believe that prayer makes a difference. And I believe that because of the James Scripture. Now, the Scripture in James is in the context of physical healing. If you go back and read James chapter 5, verses 15, 16, 17, where that little phrase says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, what that's talking about is physical healing. That's the context of the Scripture. But not taking that out of context, but the fact of the matter is that statement also has a broader application than just physical healing, even though now that's what it's talking about. You know, there's much preaching that goes on today. Let me take that back. There's much stuff that is supposed to be preaching. You know, preaching has to come from the Word of God. You can give a religious talk. It may be a very good talk, maybe a very true talk, but if it's not built on the Word of God, it's not preaching. Preaching is the expounding of the Word of God. But it's Scripture taken out of context. And a text out of context is a pretext, and as much of that. So I think it's very important that when we read something in the Bible, we do look and see, what is the context of this thing? Well, the context of James 5:16 is physical healing. But that being true, there would be other supporting scriptures in the Bible that would say that is not only true for physical healing, that's true for everything. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person makes a difference, avails much. And you might say, well, no, the devil would say to you, to me, yeah, but you're not a righteous enough person that your prayers would make any difference. Well, let me remind you that our righteousness is not in our goodness. Our righteousness is in Jesus. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And I think there are many sincere Christian people that really believe James chapter 5, verse 16. They really do believe that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person makes a difference, avails much. But then that thought comes, but I'm not holy enough. I'm not godly enough. Now listen, that'd be a sermon for another time. Remember this. God is not looking for perfection because you know God won't find perfection in a fallen world. God's looking for progression. So don't let the devil make you think because you're not, quote, godly enough that your prayers don't really matter. That's just not true. Now, I think the more we have grown in the Lord, the more our prayers do make more difference. But God hears all of our prayers, and our righteousness is not in ourselves. Our righteousness is in God. Well, good sermon for another time. Now, having said that, I want to talk about how your prayers will change you, and it's just a beautiful thing. Now, I want you to turn back, if you will, to page 130 in your Bible, and I think that will get you in the book of Numbers chapter 11, I hope. If it doesn't, just turn back to page 130 and just be there. But I think so. Now, the book of Numbers is very interesting. The Bible is just filled with examples of how prayer changes people, how prayer changes things. And the truth of the matter is, all of us in this room can give testimony and witness that we have prayed about many things, and we've seen results of that. We'd also say we've prayed about many things, and yet we've not seen the result at the moment. Okay. And we've prayed about things that the result was a no. You know, that's okay. Sometimes that's the way God would say no to that. No, Paul asked God three times, we have a thorn in the flesh. God never did that. but he did something even greater. But in the book of Numbers, it's interesting. This is a simple overview of the book of Numbers, but in the first 10 chapters of the book of Numbers, if you take time to read those 10 chapters, what you read basically is that God's people are obedient. If you want to just read about God's people being obedient, read Numbers chapters 1 through 10. Now, when you come to Numbers chapter 11, there is a major, major thing. God's people go from being obedient to being complaining and rebellious. In fact, look in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, because prayer is about to get involved here. It says, now when the people complain, now here are these obedient people, but they, you know, the human has come out now. God's people are complaining. It displeased the Lord. Now, that'd be a good sermon. We all do it sometimes, I fear. I know it's just, you just complain about things. And your ears hear it. Next thing you know, you've talked yourself into depression. Well, we just have to remember when we complain about things, it displeases the Lord. We should be grateful, not complaining. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So now look what God did. The fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed, watch this, some on the outskirts of the camp. God's fire should have consumed them all. But in God's mercy, like in the camp where they live, those on the outskirts of that camp, they were consumed by the fire. Then notice in verse 2 says, then the people cried to Moses. And look at this statement. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. Now, I don't know what he said to God, but I do know here he prayed, and God heard the prayer, and it changed things. And so I'm saying to you today, this whole deal about prayer, I mean, this is where the power is. Like, I'm just convinced whatever God does in a Christian's life will be in proportion to what they are and who they are in prayer. And that is just the way it is. You can just, like you can take your blood pressure with a blood pressure machine, know your blood pressure. If you want to know kind of where you are spiritually, just look at your prayer life and look how you consider prayer to be a serious part of your spiritual disciplines. And it's a kind of a humbling thing. We all need to pray more. But the point is, let's just go from where we are to where we can go next. Now, prayer, of course, has healing results. We read that in James. It has protection, deliverance results. We just look at this in the book of Numbers. But turn with me now, if you will, to page 486. I want to show you again today an example of how prayer made such a tremendous change in the life of David. I alluded to this prayer last week, but I didn't do anything with it. But I want to just give you the big picture today. And here's the whole deal. When we're going through things in life that are struggles, whatever they may be, we always kind of wonder, like, when is God going to show up and do something? And we've all been there. Maybe you're there today. But when I read Psalm chapter 13, I don't think I've ever read any example better of someone going through a struggle. And it just reminds me that the desire or the need for patience is nothing new. In other words, you know, sometimes we think, I just need more patience. I have a desire when I'm going through struggles in life, you know, perseverance, patience, long-suffering, whatever, you know, all those words kind of kin to each other. There's nothing new about that. It goes back to the very beginning. And here we are, David, many, many years ago. And you look, you know, the background of what's going on here is David was fleeing for fear that he was going to be killed, probably from Saul. We're not sure of that, but that's probably the case with this psalm. But actually, that was not his struggle. His struggle was he just couldn't understand why God didn't show up and do something. That's a struggle all of us can identify. And you see it in verses 1 and 2. In fact, look what David said. Now here, you know, out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to know what's inside of anybody, just listen to what comes out. That's kind of what's there, especially if they're going through a struggle. Now he was going through a struggle, fleeing for fear of his death, actually, that he was going to be overtaken. The enemy would have him killed, kill him himself. And he says these words, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" Now, for our little brief time, I can't go into depth of that, but just look, four times he says, "How long? How long?" Now, our enemy will be very different. You know, like our enemy, I began to think this morning of people that I've just prayed with recently. One as recent as yesterday. The person that I prayed with yesterday in my office, that person's enemy is their health, physical health. You know, if you're going through a health situation, that's a struggle. It could be loneliness. It could be disappointment. It could be an endless number of things. But whatever our struggle in life is, or whatever anybody's struggle in life is, if they are a Christian and they really believe what the Bible teaches about God, the human of us, all of us, is to ask ourselves, how long do I have to keep praying? How long will it be till God shows up and does something? Now, the person I prayed with yesterday had every right to ask that question. They never did. I don't think that's their struggle. Their faith is very, very strong. I just was with another person, almost being late getting in this room here, sharing with me about a person, and you know, has waited for years, wondering the very thing. You know, why doesn't God do something? Now they say it in different ways, but we've all said that kind of thing. Well, David's life, as you look in this psalm, everything about his life is a question. In fact, if you look at these first two verses, each one of them ends with a question mark. Question mark means unknown. Sometimes in my prayer thing, I just write a person's name that I'm praying for, and I don't know what to pray. Have you ever had that situation? You say, I don't know what to pray. I just write a question mark out by their name. I'm just saying to God, I'm going to pray for them, but I actually don't know what to pray. I'm baffled. I can't figure out even how to pray for them. I don't know what else to pray. I just know what needs to change, but I don't exactly know what to pray. And I prayed everything I know to pray, so it's just kind of a question mark. Well, sometimes that can happen in all of our lives. Well, that is exactly what we find. His life was just simply a question mark. And what he's asking is like, how long? God, when are you going to show up? And then he begins to think that God's forgotten him. Well, that's a terrible way to feel. Or having sorrow in my heart daily, that's like depression. How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Well, of course, there are many things that we'd throw in that camp that could just be out there that could cause us to struggle in life. And that's where our patience kind of wavers. That dear lady, I remember, first time I'd ever heard about Seth that way. I'm sure it's not new, but long years ago, when I was in Sulphur Springs, a sweet lady there said to me one day, "Pastor, I want you to pray for me." And I said, "Well, sure. What is it I need to pray?" And she said, "I'm having a sinking spell." Now, I didn't know what it was. I said, "Well, what is that? What is this sinking spell?" She said, "Well, you've evidently never had one." I said, "Well, I probably have, but I probably called it something else." And, you know, from time to time, and I'll see that lady in a few weeks as I'll be back in East Texas, and I always remind her, "You taught me a great thing about your sinking spell." In fact, each time I see her, and I'm not seeing her in years, I say, "Do you still have sinking spells?" And she said, "Yeah, but not as often." I said, "Well, my prayers have been answered for you." I said, "But we all have sinking spells." Well, it's nothing new. And here's what David's having. And prayer makes such a difference. Now, let me show you the difference. Look in verses 3 and 4. Here's this guy thinks God's forgotten him, wondering when God's going to show up, wondering when God's going to do something. I mean, we're talking about a man, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart, David, King David. And here he is about as low as a person can get. You know, you can't get lower than thinking God's forgotten you. And I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I would dare say most of us have had that little thought run through our mind. Maybe the devil put it there. God's just forgotten I'm here. God doesn't know what I'm going through. God just, you know, all that. Well, God does know we're here, and God does know what we're going through. I love that sermon Dr. Kendall preached on the unconscious presence of God. I'm not peddling books today, and I don't even know if we have any of the books. But that book, The Presence of God, is one of the finest books that I've ever read. See, we all have times when we have a conscious awareness of God's presence. See, God's present whether we're conscious of it or not. But many times, it's his unconscious presence that we deal with. Like, when is God going to show up? When is God going to... Well, that book is very insightful. But having said that, by the way, I encourage you to read books. I read books every day. But people, there's no book like this book. Don't quit reading books, but by all means, don't substitute books for the book. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Look what David did. He prayed in verses 3 and 4. And we won't go in depth to the prayer, but look at the prayer. He says, and this is his prayer, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten mine eyes, lest I sleep to death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved." See, let's take people with a physical, let's say they're battling cancer. I said to one Sunday, that's really battling. Let me be careful because I don't want to betray who I said what to. But I said, you know, right now, you know, I'm praying that you do well with what's now being done. Don't lose your spirit. The cancer right now has got kind of a grip on things. But the cancer can't get a grip on your spirit. And the Bible says the spirit of a person sustains them in their sickness. And so whether it be cancer or whatever the struggle might be, I mean, here's David, and his enemy, of course, was probably King Saul. But be that as it may, doesn't matter what the enemy is or who the enemy is, he did a very wise thing, and that is a solution. See, the solution is not that the problem may just vanish, even though we pray that, but the solution is that we understand God is there and God will do something in his way and his time. And so he prays this prayer. Now here's this guy, as low as a guy can go. How long? Question mark. In fact, five questions in those first two verses, five statements. All of them question marks. He prays this prayer. And then look, it changed him. I wrote in my little notes, changed him from the pit to praise. You can say it a dozen different ways. But look in verses 5 and 6. Sounds like a different guy's come to town. Well, he says, "But I've trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." Here's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. "I will sing to the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Now, what I'm saying today is this. Listen, there will be some how long times in all of our lives. Now, all of us in this room are old enough to know that. We are. And sometimes we have, they come in bunches, however it may be. But however it is and whenever it is, we have three choices. And I'm going to name them. Can't preach on them. Time's out on me almost. Choice number one, listen to the Word of God. That's choice number one. Now, to listen to the Word of God, you're going to have to open the Bible. That's why I encourage you every day, read your Bible. Oh, I hope you're doing that. Whether you read little, whatever, every day read your Bible. That's choice number one. Because when you do that, God's Word will be in your mind. And at the moment, what you read, you may not need. But when you need it, it's amazing how it'll kind of surface on you. And then you have another choice. Listen to the world. That's a road to nowhere. And the other choice, there's just one other. There are no other, but there's three. Listen to the devil. And he will speak in a very deceitful, deceiving, clever way and make you think doom and gloom and there is no hope and nothing's going to work out. Listen, choice one is the best choice. Listen to the Word of God. And I just want to encourage you today. That's why I have these verses. Maybe you don't need 10 verses. Maybe you just need one. I just told one staff member on my way over here, I said, well, one of my verses this morning, one of my 10 verses is this. It's in Luke chapter 12 in the NIV. It says, be dressed, ready for service. Well, now anybody can do that. You don't even have to be a Christian to get up and get dressed. Ready for service. But here's the last part of that verse. And keep your lamps burning. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, early, you say, how early? About 20 to 5. I was about 15, 20 minutes ahead of schedule. I looked and I thought, I'm dressed. I'm ready for service. But I'm missing something. I've not spent time yet with God to get my lamps burning. And you have to just do it all through the day. And the way you do it is right here in the Word of God. Father, I know I'm talking to the choir today. Everybody in this room believes the Bible is your word. That's not the problem. Problem is we just get so busy, God. We mean to and we want to, but God, we need to. We desperately do. We live in a very different day and time, and we encounter things beyond our own abilities. And some struggles are very valid. I mean, life, we live in a fallen world, and we have these mortal bodies, and we just go through things, God, but the real struggle is not any of that. The struggle is that sometimes we listen to the devil and we listen to the world and we don't understand. God's there, God sees, and God will do something. May we never forget that is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.